Hello, and welcome to episode 72 of Expertise is Overrated, the podcast that takes the time to answer the questions you didn't know you didn't want the answers to. I'm Vib.
And I'm Sean, and neither of us has any clue what we're talking about.
Which I guess means we have to put on a ridiculous hat and go invade New York with an army of aliens. I'm sort of liking this thing that we've started doing where we write these for each other almost.
It's really good, isn't
you know,
it?
You never
it's
really know what you're really going to get. Good. I don't know about this one, I must say. I also really aggressively looked at my camera as I was saying the opening line, so you're welcome for that, everybody.
That's good. I sort of put my head in my hands and giggled while you were saying it, because I could picture you being really grumpy that you hadn't taken the time to fix it.
No, I did sort of glance at it before. I was like, that is appropriately daft. We'll leave it in. But yes. I think this could be a feature now, where whenever...
As in, we write them for
whoever,
really
whoever reads the right line... The other person writes it.
We write them for each other is really good. I like that. That's going to be really, really stupid really, really quickly.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. That's another one of our ideas that we'll probably not live for that long, like the tinfoil hat, which we haven't really been very long time. Remember
back
that?
Tinfoil.
I think it's because we've become more temperate and measured and wise.
Well, that's what we said about 40 episodes ago when we stopped doing tinfoil. But, yeah, it was... As we said at the time, we were sort of fighting to find stupid stuff that stood out.
Yeah.
And it just, yeah.
Caught up in our own hype.
Yeah. We thought we were great. We still do.
We are great, let's be honest.
We are.
Let's be brutally honest, we're actually very excellent. But before I embarrass us any further, so what is it that we are talking about today? Well, of course, you know because you clicked on the episode.
Yes, but for my benefit, what are we talking about today?
We're back in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And this sort of came about, I think, because it turns out we've both rewatched a few films recently.
I was traveling
what was
for
your,
work.
What's your excuse? Yeah, traveling for
I was
work.
Traveling for work. I'd had a rather nice glass of wine with dinner on the company. And so I decided when I got back to my Premier Inn, which is... fantastic company level accommodation, that I was actually going to finish watching Infinity War, which I started about 3 months ago.
That is one of the good ones, to be fair.
Yeah, that was I started watching Infinity War. And about I thought 10 minutes, actually about 25 minutes before the end, I sent you a message which was just, "Bring me Thanos" might be the best scene the MCU has ever made.
It is excellent scene.
I think I stand by that.
The best scene MC's ever made. Yeah, it might well be, you know.
It's that scene is the culmination of a 3-movie plot arc. Well, 3-4-movie plot arc.
I mean, Thor is just great. I mean, we're not talking about the heroes this time around.
No, we're talking about the villains.
But Thor's character arc is genuinely excellent.
Yeah.
He might. Does he have the best arc? That might be sizzle for an episode in the future. The best story arc of any of the superheroes in the MCU.
He might have the best growth arc from...
Is that a muscles joke?
Where he... No, it's a fat Thor joke.
Fair. Entirely fair. We'll sort of see what happens to Thor, I guess. So you finished Infinity War, the greatest scene in the MCU. Because I was sort of... flatbound and you know, caught one of these viruses that seems to be doing the rounds, so I was like, you know what, I'll watch one of the new ones, which ended up being the Marvels, but I couldn't quite watch it before watching Captain Marvel again because I'd sort of forgotten it.
Yeah, Captain Marvel's a really funny one.
Really didn't hate it, actually. I quite enjoyed it.
I quite like it. I think it's, well, obviously we did our tier list years ago now. I think my opinion of Captain Marvel hasn't changed. For me, it's a bang average superhero film, but we're completely suffused with bang average superhero films such that we don't recognize how valuable they actually are.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. I'm sure we'll revisit a tier list at some point in the future. Reappraise based on what the MCU has come up with since.
Yeah, well, we need to.
But actually, you know, yeah. There's probably a hot take in future because this bizarrely is a hot take. But I think, in defense of Brie Larson, I think she brings a great energy to the character, which I hadn't appreciated the first time around.
So my Brie Larson Captain Marvel theory is that Brie Larson was cast partially because everyone fucking hates Brie Larson for a reason that I cannot understand. And they wanted people to not like Captain Marvel because Captain Marvel is meant to be like slightly unlikable because she knows she's so much better than everyone else. Mm. And she doesn't apologize for that fact. And they went, what female actor can we get for that? Everyone apparently hates Brie Larson. Let's get her.
And she does it really well.
I don't know. I assume so because they really hate her.
I just don't get it. I really don't get it.
No, me neither. But
she's got great chemistry with Sam Jackson on screen as well.
She does have great chemistry with Sam Jackson on screen.
So who wouldn't?
It's true.
Yeah, no. So I did watch The Marvels.
Do you have thoughts? You thoughts you'd care to share?
Again, didn't hate it. I think pretty solid. It's got an interesting concept in it, like using the sort of multiverse thing.
Yeah,
but in a cleverer way. You've not seen it, have you?
No, I haven't. I do need to watch it. I need to watch that, and I need to watch Guardians 3.
Still. Yeah, so the way the three main good characters interact, I think, is quite clever. It's quite neat. I enjoyed it a lot. They've got good chemistry as well,
mm-hmm.
And
that's good.
You know, some of it is a bit current phase MCU where there's like lots of weird over the top humor, like slapsticky stuff.
Yeah,
which, you know, when you're not feeling great, you're like, haha, this is entertaining, but
it's not high cinema.
Yeah, yeah, and I think I'm just not convinced it really worked. It needed it. I don't know what the right way of saying it is.
You know what I am excited for though.
What's that?
Deadpool 3. Because that's a film that's going to be nothing but slapstick humor, but because it's Deadpool, it's going to work better.
Yeah. It's that and also, Ryan Reynolds. So.
And we're getting Hugh Jackman back again, apparently, in the yellow suit, which is so good.
Yeah, and that'll be very good. Let's go back and watch Deadpool 2.
Don't. Just watch Deadpool 1. Deadpool 2 is not very good.
Well, the reason I'm saying is go back and watch Deadpool 2 is because I tried watching it once on a plane.
That's not a film for a plane.
Did not make it.
That is not a film for a plane.
Well, you know what plane selections are like sometimes.
That's true. I'm just surprised they had it on a plane.
Well, yeah, but perhaps heavily edited, which may not have helped.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a problem. Anyway, none of this is what we're talking about.
So we're not talking about the heroes, we are talking about the villains.
We have a little bit spoken about villains before in our the MCU jumped the shark? Or villain creep, I think, is what we actually ended up calling it.
Well, power creep. Power creep.
But I think this is good because we can now revisit it having had that conversation and think, okay, with bearing in mind that conversation, which obviously we've both been back and listened to, as you could tell, because I could remember what the episode was called, we're in a better place to come up with our rankings.
It'd be interesting to see how our rankings, so this is a top 10 video, just so you know. Video?
Yes.
Podcast, obviously. Just so you know. It'd be interesting to see if we've acknowledge the villain power creep or not, or if that somehow plays a role in our
that's a fair point. That's a fair point, actually. I hadn't considered that, but looking at my list, it might do a little. So how do we want to
ground rules? Did you think about the TV shows at all?
I did think about them. I don't have.
They do count as the MCU, I think, right? Canonically.
And when we say TV shows, do you mean the old Netflix TV shows?
No, because I don't think they would canonically count, which is annoying.
Yes, because the best villain is in.
Yeah, Jessica Jones.
Is Jessica Jones's Kilgrave?
I mean, easy number one, right?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
So much better than Thanos. Spoilers, true. Potentially.
True. No, so I don't have anyone from Loki, WandaVision, anything like that. Falcon and Winter Soldier. I don't think I really considered them, but I think even if I had considered them, I wouldn't have them. Is that fair? I think that's fair.
Yeah, so I've got a half a TV show villain.
Okay, interesting.
We'll get to it.
I've missed one. No, that's fine. We can deal with that when the obvious maybe omission from my list.
As I say, we've not said the lists yet, so feel free to edit away. Hopefully your keyboard is now out of reach.
Mate, the keyboard could be on the other side of the house, and my microphone would still pick it up. No, I haven't. I've only got MCU film villains.
Mm. Yeah, it sounds like you did that sort of by design. I think for me it was less that and more just they weren't that interesting. At least I couldn't remember any ones that were interesting, except for David Tennant.
There's David Tennant. There's Kingpin.
Yeah, again, no, I did.
That's Netflix.
Yeah. Well, he's in Hawkeye.
He is in Hawkeye. That's true. And I think he's in Echo as well, but I've not watched Echo.
Yeah, I've not watched Echo either. And but equally no.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. Isn't Kingpin's superpower just being rich, but not as rich as Tony Stark?
Yeah, and kind of strong.
And kind of strong, but not as strong as Captain America.
Yeah.
So
Vincent D'Onofrio does a great job. Like, he's a good character.
Vincent D'Onofrio is excellent, and he beats a guy to death with a car door, which is fantastic.
As things go, yeah.
But he's also in the Netflix Daredevil series, his nemesis is a blind guy. Like, no disrespect to...
That sounds a bit like disrespect. I think you deserve to be cancelled for that.
Okay, fine. Cancel me away. Vincent D'Onofrio is a really rich, really strong bloke, and he gets taken down by a blind man. And that is...
I think it's less that he gets taken down by a blind man, more that he gets taken down by a lawyer. That's just embarrassing.
Also true. I mean, how did he manage to piss off the only lawyer in New York City who wouldn't just take his money? Like, be a smart man. Right. Anyway, sorry. That's awful.
Getting off track. So no convincing TV show heroes. Any other sort of caveats you want to throw in here?
So I
have to desperately change my list.
Why are you desperate to change your list? I don't think so. I haven't included anyone from the old X-Men films. So the Hugh Jackman, or indeed James McAvoy X-Men
but they're
films.
They're not Fox. MCU, right?
They're
much
not
like,
MCU.
Much like Deadpool,
yes.
Oh, but then did you include Spider-Man, I wonder? Because that's a...
I have included Spider-Man.
That's an issue. I'm going to guess, actually, that in your top 10 we have... I always forget his name, but the guy from the first Spider-Man Homecoming.
I couldn't possibly comment.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously... You're just so basic. I know exactly that he's in there. I'm going to say that you've actually put him at number 4.
I have not put him at number 4. No, I can guarantee that is not true. but because Tom Holland's Spider-Man is in the MCU, so I think that's okay.
Yeah, it's still just a bit weird.
I think that's okay.
The OG X-Men, I've still only ever really seen the first two, I think. And because the second one was so... Or maybe the first three. I remember watching the last one of the ones I watched, and I was like, well, that was a bit shit, and I just never went back to it.
Yeah, I mean, the last of the first three, so the third one, let's speak properly, the third one is pretty terrible. But
and then it went all very weird.
Very weird, and they did split timelines, and they
gave us X-Men, right?
Days of Future Past, which was really good. And we got, that was James McAvoy's Professor X. That was where that came in.
Hmm.
And Fassbender's Magneto. And from
then we
there,
eventually
just
got to Hugh Jackman and Patrick Stewart reprising their roles in an X.
In Logan.
Yes.
But I don't have any idea. Like, it felt like they just took all the characters and went, we'll make a film over here, we'll make a film over here, we'll make a film over here. Is there any continuity? Not really. Does it matter? No, because we're making individual films with the same characters. Because Logan doesn't fit in any of the X-Men timelines.
No,
really.
But it's just an excellent film. I think they just wanted to make a... They were like, right, Hugh
and
Patrick,
you just
wanted
to do Old Man Logan.
Yeah, exactly.
That was all that was.
Exactly.
But anyway, the only reason I bring that up is because there's a couple of good villains in those films, but they aren't on my list. But if we do have any honourable mentions, we can maybe talk about them there.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. I've got a few honorable mentions as well. They've very much got a theme.
Do you have a dangerous suggestion? Because I have one on my list that's labelled underneath honorable mentions as dangerous suggestion.
Okay, walk me through. Or do you want to do that after?
I'll do it after because I'll tell you who it is, and then I'll tell you why they're not on my list.
Okay, makes sense. Well, why don't you kick us off then?
Should I do 10 to 1, or do you want to do 10-10?
Let's do... I don't know, what should we do? Let's do 10 to 1, why not?
Okay, I'll start. So, number 10...
Do 10 to 5.
Do 10 to 5.
And then we'll do our top...
I do 10 to 5, you do 10 to 5, I do 4, you do 4, I do 3, I do,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, let's do it that way. So... Number 10, I have Green Goblin from No Way Home, which feels like a little bit of a cop-out, but I've done it. Number 9, I have Baron Zemo, specifically from Civil War. Number 8, I have Eric Killmonger from Black Panther. Number 7, I have Vulture from Spider-Man Homecoming. And number 6, I have Kang from Quantumania. And finally, number 5, I have Wen Wu from Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Five Rings.
Yeah, he was a quantity for me. Kang, I am genuinely surprised by. Baffled.
I'm gonna need to show some working there. I appreciate that.
I think you are. Black Panther, I very much considered him, but yeah, just couldn't. Anyway,
couldn't.
I'll go for my 10 to 5. 10 very much motivated, I think, by recent watching. And also an absolute cop out because I've just written the Kree from Captain Marvel. Just all of them.
Do you mean Jude Law, or do you just mean the collectiveness?
I mostly mean that whole gang. So it's obviously fair. Primarily Jude Law,
Jude Law, collective. and was it the Supreme Intelligence?
So all of them. Number 9, I've got Doctor Strange in Doctor Strange. And I'll show my working on that one.
All right, there's going to need to be some serious explanation there.
He's his own worst enemy. Anyway, number 8, Red Skull, Captain America, First Avenger.
Fair.
7 is Hel, or Hela, I suppose, from Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
6, and it still pains me that he's actually there, but Ultron from Age of Ultron. And then 5 is Wanda, and that's mostly from Multiverse of Madness, but also WandaVision.
Yeah, his Wanda was TV the... show. Wanda was the... I forgot Wanda from earlier.
I see. Yeah, well, it's weird, right? Because we can go into it later, but I still don't like the film, but I think she is a great villain.
No,
underutilized to an extent.
I think that's absolutely fair. All right, who have you got at number 4?
Number 4? I think his name is actually Iron Monger, right? Or something along those lines. But I've just written Jeff Bridges, Iron Man.
Obadiah Stane.
Yeah, Obadiah Stane, exactly.
No, the reason that I know that is Obadiah Stane is guess who my number 4 is?
Is it Obadiah Stane?
It absolutely is.
I also figured Stane. He'd be on your list, yeah, 100%. He's Come just on. So good, and he's OG, right?
Middle-aged, angry man. That's absolutely my favorite type of villain.
Okay, well, we're in agreement there. It's amazing. Not quite cracking top 3, but
no.
So who have you got at number 3?
I have Hela at number 3.
Okay, yeah, good. Yeah.
Who have you got?
I've gone for Loki.
Ooh. I'm
thinking mostly of Avengers, I guess.
Avengers Loki, yeah.
Yeah.
No, that makes sense. Who have you got at number 2?
The big man himself, Thanos. And I guess overarching, obviously, which feels a bit like a cop-out, but I think actually mostly from Infinity War. I think he's quite sinister in that. But he's obviously excellent in Endgame as well.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, though, that Infinity War Thanos is slightly better. And that's not only because he gets his head cut off in the first 20 minutes of Endgame.
And then another Thanos shows up. Yeah.
Then another Thanos. I have Loki at 2.
You got Loki at 2, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now interesting, is Thanos your number 1, or is he not on your list at all?
No, he's my number 1.
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah. Kind of, like, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's not just for Infinity War and Endgame as well. He's the looming threat And they sort of build him up quite well-ish.
He gives those phases that certain sense that they now lack, yeah. I think.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
His looming threat. And he's just so well at it. I mean, Josh Brolin, well played, sir.
Fantastically mo-capped.
So obviously Thanos started off life as number one on my list.
And then I thought who did he get supplanted by?
Any guesses who I would have put ahead of Thanos?
What stupid thing have you done?
It harks back to an episode we released not that long ago. So my number one villain is Tony Stark
in
Civil War.
I'm so angry because you know who my dangerous suggestion is?
Was it?
Tony Stark.
Tony Stark in Civil War. Yes. I actually went with it. I'm just so much braver than you are. Well, that creates a problem, though, because that means you're not going to yell at me as much. See, I figured you'd hate... Well, it's actually an interesting quandary, right? Because you love Captain America.
I do.
But fundamentally, he's the one you disagree with in Civil War. So why is Tony the villain?
Tony's not the villain of Civil War. Tony War is the almost... It almost comes back to our definition of villain, and that's why I didn't have Tony Stark on the list. But Tony Stark basically causes the MCU, and I'm not 100% certain that for the people who live in the MCU who are not enhanced, the MCU is a good thing. So, Tony Stark,
interesting.
Ultron, mostly Ultron, to be fair, but there are lots of other things that you can point at and go, that's Tony Stark's fault. And yeah, he cleaned up his mess afterwards, but he makes the world a more dangerous place.
By trying to protect it, yeah. It's the great irony of Age of War. It's literally the plot line of that film, isn't it?
Yeah, suit of armor around the world. But he...
Okay, interesting. So you would have just said Tony Stark, generally.
It's Tony Stark from Iron Man to Endgame.
Wow, that is a hot take and a half. Tony Stark is the best villain in the MCU.
And and that's why he's not actually on my list, because he's so obviously not a villain. But he does create a lot of problems, both for himself and for the world at large.
So that's interesting. So obviously my list, I've got three people who fit this sort of trend, right? So Doctor Strange... Wonder, although
yeah,
I'm thinking mostly Wonder and WandaVision.
Doctor Strange.
And Tony Stark himself. Yeah. And I think my idea was, they're not villains. You know, it's certainly not the sort of archetypal villains we think in superhero films.
If you compare them with, a Red Skull, then you're doing someone a disservice.
Yeah, but I think in those films specifically, so in Doctor Strange, I think the biggest struggle is the one that he has with himself. He's his own worst enemy. That sounds super stupidly cliche, but ultimately the villain in that film is kind of meh. You know, it's like a looming threat, but... So much of that is just him coming to terms with what his life actually is and realizing that it's really not that bad.
No, absolutely. If you run back to the idea that there are only three stories, man versus man, man versus nature, and man versus himself...
Hmm.
Doctor Strange is a man versus himself story. It's not a man versus,
which he needs to overcome to then defeat the big evil in the film, because we need a big evil in the film.
But it's sort of framed in such a way as if he succeeds in his battle with himself, then winning against Caecilius and Dormammu is almost guaranteed.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that it was just really compelling in that film. I think that struggle was really well told and obviously well acted by Benedict Cumberbatch himself.
I think that's fair. I think it's an odd framing to therefore cast him as a villain of the piece, because he's not villainous. He's just exhibiting...
I've certainly been more loose in my interpretation of the term villain.
You really, really have.
And I think that stems from wanting to be a little bit interesting and not bland.
Yeah,
like
that's
you.
Fair.
But also, yeah, interpreting it less as the villain of the piece, but more the sort of the main obstacle that needed to be overcome.
Yeah. Yeah, your antagonistic object, whatever that might be.
I think Wanda's very similar in that respect, because we see that in WandaVision that she's sort of in her own head and she's clearly struggling with something.
Shit show, I didn't watch it.
Fair enough. But then in Multiverse Madness, obviously she goes next level nuclear and dumb and stupid. But it was just great to see someone whom before... Well, she sort of starts off as semi-villainous, right? Because, you know, she's one of the suits that
Yeah, she has a really interesting fluctuation between enemy, unwilling helper, core member of the Avengers, mass murdering psychopath.
And so I think your example of Tony Stark creates Ultron and that's, you know, the thing that fucks up the world, you know, amongst other things. You could trace that back to Wanda having messed with his brain, making him see those visions where he was like, we need to protect the world, and this is the best way I can think of doing that.
Yeah, you could make the case that actually Wanda creates Vision.
Yeah.
Not Vision. And then ends him. That's weird.
Well, I mean...
Wanda creates Ultron.
Yeah, ultimately they're all linked, right?
Yeah.
And then, Tony and Civil War, I think because he just makes the wrong decision. And it nearly costs everybody everything.
Yeah, I mean, there's a strong case to be made that it does. Quite a strong case, in fact, that were it not for the fact that Scott Lang was trapped down a quantum tunnel, everyone stays dead. And that's pretty
much... Must hurt
much.
You that Ant-Man is the savior of everybody.
No, it's not Ant-Man. I have to shout out to another podcaster, I can't remember its name, who's actually the savior of everybody is Rat Boy, who pushes the button.
No, that is not a thing.
Yeah,
it's just a rat.
Well, sure, but rat pushes the button and saves everyone. It's not Ant-Man. We'll never be Ant-Man. Fuck
Ant-Man.
Well,
no, because Ant-Man had the foresight and the nous to tuck himself away from the looming threat that he had clearly identified as being Thanos.
I don't think we're going to allow that.
I want to talk about with you. Yeah, we'll come back to me because I need to prepare myself to defend that. Kang, specifically in Quantumania. It's what
specifically Quantumania Kang. So, part of this, I suppose, might be down to knowing that that the upcoming Avengers film was going to be called Kang Dynasty, although I think they've canned that now.
Yeah.
But I don't know, there's something about the Kang that we see in Quantumania as this, like, almost elemental force that of basically just rage.
Mm.
And I don't know. Maybe it's because I didn't particularly like Quantumania, but I thought that Kang in Quantumania was the best thing about that film, and it's what stayed with me about the film afterwards. So,
interesting.
Like, it's a stat, and I think still have to hold our hands up and say that it appears that Jonathan Majors is an asshole. So, you know, that's a shame. But.
See,
it's
that's
a
fantastic
performance.
It is. So Kang, obviously, I considered because, you know, one of the most recent villains in an MCU film I'd sort of witnessed. But for me, the opposite thing happened where I can't remember the plot of the film very well anyway. And I don't sort of remember him being all that threatening or additive to the plot. Especially now in light of the actor being an arsehole, as you say.
That
detracted
fair.
So much for me that for me is like just not memorable enough as a villain, frankly.
That's really interesting because I had a completely different...
I think it's just because I decided that Quantumania was just not good enough to even consider there being a top 10 villain in that.
That's fair. I don't know, it stuck with... I quite liked it in a way and I can't quite work out why.
Because you're a massive Ant-Man stan, that's why.
That must be... It's the only possible answer. It's just that it's got so much Ant-Man in it.
Because Kang wasn't even the best villain in that film. It's obviously Bill Murray.
Fucking Bill Murray. Such an unnecessary cameo.
But so good. Because it was so bad, yeah. But so good.
Yeah, it was. We've both got not that many of the recent villains. I mean, I've got two.
Yeah, so Shang-Chi was an interesting one.
I just thought Wen Wu was great in there.
Yeah, I spent a long time thinking about him.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I still don't really know why he's not in my top 10.
Fair enough.
Probably because he's not Jude Law, but that's not a very good reason, really.
I mean, let's be fair, it's quite a good reason.
I think it's a reason. I think what my memory of Shang-Chi is just it doesn't center on the villain at all, really. I think was sort of where I ended up with that. Even though he's excellent, don't get me wrong. It's just that's not how I think back.
That's
on that
interesting. Film. I don't think I agree with you. I think because of the personal and familial connections, I think the villain in Shang-Chi is really important. The fact that it's Wen Wu and not some random... The film would be so much less impactful if the leader of the Ten Rings had killed Shang-Chi's father rather than being Shang-Chi's father.
But I think that's partly his undoing because of that fucking awful credit scene where his sister takes over.
Yeah.
Effectively undoing the whole poignancy of what you've just said.
Yeah, that's true. I see that. I suppose.
Because you used to be the one, I think, who really hated the post-credit scenes and the credit scenes.
I do. I'll be honest, I don't really watch them anymore.
But I think that's probably the right shout, because I'm coming to dislike them a lot as well.
I
miss the days when it was just shawarma in a shop after a massive battle. That was great. I loved that.
Or it's after... Is it after Iron Man or after Captain America? And it's just a shot of Thor's hammer with no... It's just Coulson saying, we found it. And then it's just a shot of Thor's hammer in the desert. And that's it. That's your whole post-credit scene.
But yeah, because, and it's sort of the build hype around the idea, like, oh, look, everything's so interconnected in this universe. And you know, that made sense at the time. But yeah, anyway, that's a ramble. So I really don't hate the idea of... was it Wen Wu, was it?
Wen Wu is his name. Yeah.
Because that was a great film. And he does play an important role in it.
I do also think we need to recognise if there's a good film in the recent canon. And I'm willing to accept that Kang at 6 is... Or even potentially Kang in the list is misguided.
See, my dangerous shout, or honourable mention, if you will, was going to be Richard Madden in Eternals. Because it was so bad, but also so good, and it just really fit with the shit show that was that film somehow. I mean,
yeah, no, I see that. That's good.
But it'd be honouring the latest phase in the wrong way, I suppose.
But that's the thing. I sort of think because there have been so few good films in the latest phase, we absolutely need to go, you know what? Shang-Chi was great. It had a great villain. It had a great protagonist. It had a great cast. It had a great plot. Like, good film. Why did you also make Eternals?
Yeah. And I've realized I'm talking about, because I've got Wanda from Multiverse of Magic.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And I think, to be fair, Wanda, Multiverse of Madness, Wanda is a really good show. And I'm probably just going to swap Kang for Wanda in my list.
That seems fair.
Because, I mean, I did forget that Multiverse of Madness existed, which is a problem.
Well, I mean, I'm surprised that I remembered, but I think I just thought of Wanda.
But you hated it.
I'm actually to go back to it. Maybe it's just so bad, though, isn't it? Why would I do that to myself? I've been flirting with the idea of a rewatch of the current phase, though, just to remind myself if it is as bad as I think it is.
It is. It just is.
But now that the sort of end game hype has died, maybe it's better.
It's true. Maybe. Or are you just going to watch Black Widow and be like, no, this film doesn't even know have the Endgame hype. It's just bad.
So,
oh, no, Ray Winston's here. It's fine.
I was going to say, Ray Winston, obvious honorable mention. Fantastic.
I don't have an honorable mention for Ray Winston.
What an absolutely disastrous casting choice.
I have no time for a casting choice that bad. I do have, though, as an honorable mention.
But sorry, before we say that, that has to have been a piss take, no? Or some contractual obligation to cast Ray Winston in any film, and they were like, well, let's just stick him in Black Widow for 10 minutes.
I think it was a piss take.
Has to
because
be,
I think the whole film is a piss take. There's almost... The film is almost satire. Like, you've got...
Yeah. It is, except that it doesn't work with Black Widow, of all people.
You've got... Is it Rachel Weisz doing mind control pigs?
Is that Rachel Weisz?
Is it Rachel Weisz? Have I misremembered?
It might well be.
It's not Rachel Weisz.
No, I don't think it is Rachel Weisz.
That's just because I've watched The Mummy recently.
I mean, that's a great film.
That is a great film, but there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, everything about that film's perfect. But you know what I mean? There's like there's mind control pigs, there's the Omega Red or whatever his name is, who keeps being like, oh, I forget, I fought Captain America, does he ever talk about me?
That's great, yeah.
But it's just like, I think the film is satire.
It is Rachel
But they
Weisz.
Forgot to tell... I knew it was Rachel Weisz. Yeah. I think the film is satire, but they forgot to tell Scarlett Johansson.
I think that's it, because all the other characters, as you said, they do fit that so well, but then Scarlett Johansson doesn't. But then also Ray Winston's way too serious in it, so...
Oh, no, he's playing straight-laced satire. I don't think Ray Winston has straight-laced satire in his repertoire.
I don't think he's got the depth,
much though I love the man.
Who was your honourable mention that you missed?
Justin Hammer from Iron Man 2. Because it's in sort of the
really
same...
Really, though? Really?
It's just... It's... Iron Man 2 is such a confusing film.
Is he the villain in Iron Man 2?
It's either him or it's Mickey Rourke. Or it's the Senator. But this is sort of the point that I'm making about Iron Man 2. The film's so confusing. Justin Hammer adds to its confusion.
Yeah. Because when I thought Iron Man 2, I instantly thought Mickey Rourke, and I thought that he's just really shit.
He's a terrible villain.
And then I tried to remember more of that film, and I was just like, this whole film is just shit.
It's really, really bad.
So yeah, I think not it.
Yeah. I think Justin Hammer makes an excellent, like...
He's good, yeah.
Non-superhero foil for Tony Stark, if you see what I mean. So he's Tony Stark before Iron Man, basically. So he serves as a way for us to measure how far Iron Man has come, if that's vaguely where he started.
Except he's the biggest villain in the MCU.
He's the biggest villain in the MCU. So Justin Hammer's just getting started on his villainous journey.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a good honorable mention. I'll take that. the other one I had as well was Russell Crowe. Zeus.
I hate Russell Crowe.
He was so bad.
I hate Russell Crowe as Zeus. Well, I don't. Russell Crowe as Zeus is a fantastic casting, but play it straight.
Yeah, but that's all my honorable mentions are just like, what was going on here? And then, of course, all the latest phase. What was going on? I want to ask you about Black Panther in a minute. But one that was a genuine nearly on my list was Mysterio.
Yeah, no, that's
I quite liked him, actually.
Mysterio is great. Mysterio is great, actually. That's a very good point.
Because I also considered... I always forget his name from Homecoming that you have, but...
Vulture.
Yeah, but I think that whole film Tombs, was just Adrian a little Tombs. Bit too, like... It just gives you a little bit too much of a warm feeling inside, right? So... I don't know. That scene in the car where, you know...
That's so good, though. That scene is so good.
Well, it's not promised, but it's homecoming, isn't it? But
yeah, because it's called
It's called homecoming. that is a phenomenal scene. Yeah.
Neither of us went to an American high school. Don't shout at us.
Well, quite yeah. The whole system sounds weird.
No, that scene, the whole when he opens the door. As well, yeah. Like it's not just the scene in the car. That whole sequence from Peter knocking on the door to getting out of the car is just fantastically done.
Yeah, it's a great reveal. It's a great scene. I mean, you've talked about this before, right?
I think that particular villain is fantastic, yeah, and it only works true. Because of that villain. It couldn't.
Yeah.
I was about to say, you couldn't do that with Jude Law, but you probably could.
Of course you could. You can do anything with Jude Law.
try and get him on the podcast.
We should. Good luck. I'd replace you in a heartbeat, if that's what it took.
I'd replace me in a heartbeat.
What, you replace yourself so I could talk to Jude Law? That's good. I like that. It's nice.
Yeah, because you'd have to sit in my chair.
Don't think that's how it works, mate, but okay. So two things I want to ask you.
Sorry.
Let's move on from Jude Law. That's Jude, if you are listening, please. I mean, you're welcome to my seat as well, of course. As a major Captain America fan, you've got Zemo, yeah. So why not Red Skull? Too cartoonish? Too obvious?
I think it's that. I think
it's why I went for him, weirdly. That and Hugo Weaving, obviously.
So Hugo Weaving is giving a fantastic performance. The issue is that it's too cartoonish, basically. He's too cacklingly evil for the sake of being evil. Like, there's no ulterior motive beyond, I want to be even worse than Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
Who is like a direct comparator in that film.
Like, but almost sort of like, he's not evil enough, so we're going to make this guy even more evil, which...
That's what I mean. That's what I mean. Like, up, right? you've even got the guys who work for Hitler turning up and being like, all right, dude, tone it down a bit. And Red Skull's like cackling and then shoots them.
Yeah. The reason I thought it worked really well is that complete juxtaposition of... such outrageously cartoonish evil and then the sort of massively overblown Americans of the heroes vibe. And it really works for that film. And I think you needed someone as cartoonish as Red Skull to set up Hydra for what it is.
It's also the only way you can make Captain America work is you have to introduce him opposite someone, almost exactly as you say, who is his mirror image ridiculousness. Because Captain America is pretty ridiculous as a concept goes.
Polar opposites of the spectrum.
Exactly. And you can only do Zemo if you've done Red Skull.
So Zemo then.
I really like it. That's Winter Soldier, right? Zemo is Civil War.
Well, that guy. Yeah, that guy.
I really like it when villains are just blokes. Basically, yeah. If you look at my list, I've got Green Goblin, Zemo, Killmonger, Vulture, Obadiah Stane. Half my list is just old men. Or not old, Killmonger's not old, but just people. That's all. True.
Well, I mean...
I like Zemo.
Killmonger,
I
think, is a borderline just a man, right? But
yeah, he's a sort of 50-50, but his motivation, or his Zemo's motivation is so relatable and works so well in a film that's fundamentally about the legitimate exercise of power and the legitimate exercise of force. If you're antagonist is just a man who shows that all of these people that we're having this debate about are just one man away from turning on each other and beating the ever-loving shit out of each other. He proves that the Avengers are unstable just by pulling on their loose threads. That's why I really like him. He doesn't...
Yeah. But this, I think, is a great shout, don't get me wrong. But this, I think, is what made me go for Ultron instead. And I think the fact that those films are fairly close to each other, at least in my mind, I feel like Civil War is a natural progression of Ultron. But there is some stuff in between, I think, right?
Probably.
Ultron was sort of this... Yeah, that combination of Tony Stark's and Bruce Banner's, I suppose, misguided attempts. And he's quite charismatic in a way, which I thought was quite well done for what is ultimately a robot. And he does the same sort of thing, right? All he's really trying to show is that the Avengers are, again, one sort of small incident away from killing each other, and he makes the Hulk go nuts, exposes him for what he is. And he does that sort of same thing that Zemo does. But then on top of that is a cartoonishly overpowered robot who decides he wants to throw a meteor at the Earth to wipe out humanity. Which I think just pushes him that little bit further into mental... Weird.
It does make him like a bigger threat than Zemo, but for me, I feel like Ultron in some ways was too easy, like in the comics, and I need to be careful here because I have read very few Marvel comics, but like Ultron is a Thanos level threat, if not bigger. Like he's a huge problem, and they sort of deal with him through the power of friendship, which I guess
I think it was just a way of trying to really quickly show how badass Vision was supposed to be.
Probably
is my take on that.
That's probably true. I don't know.
I think in a phase system, you can't just have two like ridiculously overpowered threats, right? You can't have a Thanos and an Ultron.
You can't have a Thanos and an Ultron. Like, I get that. But I don't know. I love the actor who played Thanos, who played Ultron. James Spader is great. And he just felt underused. And that's part of it.
See, but this, I think, for me is why he's up there, because he does a lot to save that film, because it's definitely not the
best. He does do a lot. I remember rewatching it about a year ago when I was still committed to my rewatch, and he absolutely carries that film to the extent that that film can be carried.
Yeah, it's still such a weird one. I think we might want to revisit it at some point. I can't quite put my finger on why Ultron is so, as an Age of Ultron, is so not it.
It's weird, isn't it?
Like, it's got all the ingredients, and there's nothing, like, as far as I can tell, overtly wrong with it, and yet it just doesn't quite land. I don't know what it is. It's odd. But Ultron, for me, sort of saves that, and I just like his style. Very much like Zemo for you, I suppose. But, Black Panther. Let's talk about it. I ummed and ahed a lot about Killmonger.
Yeah.
So what made you put him in the top 10? Because he's vanilla human adjacent.
Yeah, basically. But it's the same as Zemo, but also he can punch people. His motivations are relatable. His motivations are personal.
Yeah, that's true.
He does a lot with a little. And I just really like that film as well. So I'm positively inclined to its villain because I think the film is fantastic. He basically comes into a country that he sees as capable of solving all the world's ills, goes, why aren't you doing that? Convinces them that they should do that, and, you know, is 10 minutes away from setting off World War III, which he's going to win.
Yeah.
So, is it a little bit basic? Maybe. Probably.
Yeah. I can't quite put my finger on why I didn't have him in there, ultimately.
I think
it's because there's so much going on in that film that, again, he wasn't like a sort of... I mean, he was, because he was a very good villain. I don't know.
He's overdoing it ever so slightly, I think.
But this is part of it, I think, but that's just Michael B. Jordan's face. And it's a terrible thing to say, but he's got a lot of resting bitch face going on for me.
he's got a lot of rich resting bitch face, and he brings a huge amount of energy to the performance that almost, I think it would have been better if he was quieter.
No, but I think that works with Chadwick Boseman's T'Challa, though.
That's true.
Because he is quite measured and like it's such a nice comparison, you know, a contrast.
I hadn't thought of it in that way. I was thinking of him when in some of the throne room scenes where it's just Michael B. Jordan and the council and T'Challa's not there, but you're right, seeing the two of them opposite each other.
That's why it works, I think, because you see him in the throne room and you're like, oh, what an obnoxious asshole.
Yeah.
And then you know, T'Challa walks in and is like, oh yeah, this is what it's supposed to be.
that's what being a king looks like.
Ah, yeah, so maybe I should be convinced to put him...
I think what we're learning is that there's actually... There is no one true list.
Well, I think there's one true list of people that don't belong on it.
That's the other thing. And we have a little bit of time left. Maybe we need to... Unless there's anything on your list or my list that you still want to talk about.
I don't think so. I mean, there's no major surprises in the top. We talked about Tony Stark being number one.
Tony Stark. You've got Hela a lot lower than I do, but that's fine.
You have to make space for Tony this way.
You have to make
space. I mean, Hela, I think, actually, I've done Hela a disservice. I think she's definitely better than Ultron. Maybe better than Wanda. So she could, instead of seventh, be fifth or sixth.
Yeah. And I don't hate that. Because then you've just, like you said, you've got to make room for Tony Stark, which I sadly don't hate. I don't like Doctor Strange.
Part of me wanted to put the Destroyer on there. Which it's just such a simple villain. Even though it's not really a villain, I suppose, as such.
We spoke about this. The Destroyer is your Darth Vader.
No, Doctor Strange. I stand by my inclusion of Doctor Strange.
I hate it. I've been quiet about hating it, but I absolutely hate it because it's such a fundamental misunderstanding of.
Well, get wrecked, nerd. You just don't. Cinema. You just don't get it.
I understand.
Fuck off. A fundamental misunderstanding of cinema. You did not just say that to me.
I did, sorry.
Well, it looks like we are going to yell at each other. That's absolutely outrageous.
I'm not going to apologize.
I expect no less, but you're fucking
wrong. You can't have the protagonist also be the villain if that's not a twist in the film.
You absolutely can.
Oh,
I think I'm a better writer than the Marvel ones who wrote Doctor Strange. I'm just saying I would have really bigged that up more. That doesn't make any sense, does it really?
Given that we just said it was clearly like a huge part of the film, what are you going to do? Have Doctor Strange look straight at the camera and go,
I'm essentially just elaborating on your I like the human being the villain concept. I think the biggest human villain in that one is literally Doctor Strange. Anyway, what are some like definite no-nos for you? It's interesting that we've gone for none of the Guardians of the Galaxy ones. I briefly considered Ronan, but
Ronan's just Ronan. I don't understand his motivation at all. He just wants the Power Stone so he can destroy Xandar because he's a zealot.
To be fair, I've technically included him in my tender.
You've got the Kree, so he's in there for you. But, like, why does he hate Xandar? What does him being a Kree zealot mean? And it sort of works for Guardians of the Galaxy because we don't need to understand these things because the galaxy's a big scary place and Ronan wants to blow people up so we stop him is a perfectly... coherent plot.
But I think that's why they include them in Captain Marvel. Because I think they acknowledge that they never really made it quite clear why he was so...
27 million films later.
Yeah, well, not quite. But I think even they were like, well, we kind of... We should give Ronan another shot because people don't really understand why he's so...
Yeah. And also Lee Pace is looking for work. Let's, you know, throw the man a bone.
Throw the man a bone. What else? Who else did we omit?
Do you know who I really, really wanted to put on but couldn't?
Oh, let me have a look. Who would you want to put on? I don't know.
Christian Bale, Gore the God Butcher.
Yeah, I considered him, actually.
But...
I wanted more from that.
I wanted more butchering.
I wanted more butchering, yeah. If you're going to introduce me to like the safe haven of the gods, and as a god,
and you're
going
to send Thor there to say he's going to come and kill you, and then have Zeus laugh at him. Please send Gore the God Butcher there and have him kill everyone.
Yeah.
Please, I'm begging you, please.
And this is obviously the sort of most maligned bit of that film, I think. Well, that and the humor being a bit overblown, but. Like, if you're going to cast Christian Bale as
that's,
a God Butcher,
that's it.
And then you essentially make him do nothing.
There are so many other actors in the world who could have done that role so that you didn't waste your Christian Bale in the MCU.
Yeah. And frankly, his ending is sort of like, oh, I just want to make a wish that's like not even inherently that bad.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
The whole film could have been saved by a conversation. To be fair, that's true of most MCU. But like,
use your words. Do a Harry Dresden.
Do it. Yeah. Who else?
None of the Ant-Man ones really stood out to me.
No.
No surprise for you either. There. Yeah, the Guardians of the Galaxy, like
Ego, the Living Planet. It's just weird.
Too weird. Exactly. Just too weird. Iron Man 3, remember
it's the Mandarin. Aldrich Killian, the Mandarin,
which is just but, not really a thing.
I mean, Ben Kingsley's fantastic in that, but
right,
Trevor
Thor 2.
Malekith.
I actually genuinely thought of Malekith. I was like, no, I can't, but even I can't do that without just giving up some of my
the film is too bad. The film is too bad.
And he's such a shit villain ultimately. Like he has effectively one of the Infinity Stones at his beck and call and does nothing.
Yeah. It is a problem. No.
God, the film is just so bad.
He's not a million miles away from being a good villain. But I think what's standing between him and being a good villain is how bad the Dark World is.
Yeah.
Like if it was just a bang average film, then I think that could be standout. But
the film is
just so bad.
Too bad. Too confused. I think.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's far too confused.
What a success story when Taika Waititi came in and was like, "No, Thor needs to be darkly comedic."
And then no one told him that he'd gone far enough for Love and Thunder.
No, I think that's him just being like, listen, we've already made billions of dollars. Let's just...
Can I just see how far I can push this?
Part of me thinks that was just Taika Waititi and Chris Hemsworth thing. Like, how can we be forced out as opposed to having to find a way of bowing out? And then somehow I think they still haven't been forced out. So...
I think Marvel have worked out that if they announce they're making a Thor 5 that's not headed by Taika Waititi, everyone will go and watch it to see if it's better than Love and Thunder. And Chris Hemsworth is sitting there like, I really want to stop going to the gym.
Yeah, well, he really doesn't. He loves it, but...
He doesn't. Yeah. I imagine he does love it. Who else?
Who's the actual villain in Eternals? Is it actually Richard Madden?
Yeah, it's Icarus.
Or I guess the big dude, the Eternal,
the prime deviant.
The guy who lays an egg in a planet.
Something like that. The Celestial.
Celestial, that's the one. Yeah, fucking crap film. Although I still weirdly want to rewatch it.
I
Maybe we should do an expertise is overrated watch along of Eternals, and we can break down exactly what is wrong with it.
We could do a review of Eternals. Like, I don't think I've got time for a watch along, but I could take notes as I watch it. I've nearly finished. Well, I'd say nearly finished. I'm going to watch Endgame, and then Far From Home.
So Endgame's an interesting one. So
yeah,
and Infinity War. So could we also pick Thanos? Makes sense. But what about some of the
Ebony, Maw, Proxima, Midnight?
Yeah, the sort of mini bosses, if you will. Because I actually thought they were all quite good. Well, Ebony Maw
is fantastic.
Yeah, the others are a bit. They get too much screen time or I guess lines.
Proxima Midnight's quite. I think that's her name. The woman.
Yeah,
she's quite good.
Who Captain America just kicks into a heap.
That's really funny.
Well, yeah.
but then gets turned into mist by Wanda, which is extra funny. Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's just because Thanos is so much more of a presence, right? That. But Ebony Maw kind of is the villain for a lot of that film.
He is.
Because Iron Man and Doctor Strange,
Iron Man and Doctor Strange's villain for most of the film.
But then they also end up fighting Thanos. Right? So, tricky that. I think especially because he just gets booted out of a spaceship.
That's really funny. That.
It's a bit sad.
The kids see more movies. Great line. What about Winter Soldier, Bucky, or Hydra?
So Hydra, but I think Hydra I've spiritually got by with Red Skull.
Red Skull.
I think that's part of what Red Skull embodies for me. Bucky. Yeah, I probably contradict myself. People are going to shout at me in Discord or in the comments, but he's not the villain.
No, to be fair, I think that's right. I think he's not the villain.
Yeah, but you've also not said that Tony Stark's the villain, so you're being less schizophrenic than I am.
No, I'm just playing both sides.
He's excellent, and the film is excellent.
But he's not the villain because it's not him, basically.
Yeah,
like he doesn't have a personality when he's the Winter Soldier. His personality is following orders, and then
and you got the Secretary. He's just. Something about
Pierce.
Yeah. Something I don't like. I think he just sort of bungles it, you know. Like for an organization like Hydra that spent so long in the shadows and meticulously doing this, and then he sort of showboats. Feels a bit off to me.
There should be far less showboating. There should be far more.
But you showboat when you've killed the however many.
You say that was me rather than that will be me.
Yeah,
I agree. Anyone that we haven't spoken about?
I think not. From looking at this hell, hell is great. Ragnarok himself. Well, I guess it's not Ragnarok.
Surtur.
Thanks. What about Tim Roth. I've forgotten the character's name again. In the Hulk. The Incredible Hulk.
Thunderbolt Ross. Is that Thunderbolt Ross? No, Abomination.
Abomination, there you go.
Yeah.
It's unfortunately just not a great film, is it?
No, it's got the same problem. Yeah. Big air energy.
Big air energy.
Sorry. No, I can't get excited about The Incredible Hulk. I'm trying to think if there's anyone else that we've missed. Caecilius, the actual villain from Doctor Strange.
Nah, just boring.
Just a bloke. A bloke trying to summon a bigger bloke to win.
But then he summons the bigger bloke and like...
It turns out that was a really bad idea.
But it works for that film, right? Because it's like, this is not actually as big a thing. like a big deal as you think it is.
And he's like, it's another, like, Caecilius and his followers are presented as like zealots, but there's no real engagement with what their zealotry entails. They're just described as zealots, and if you want me to believe that your villain is like a religious zealot, then I need to spend some time getting to understand their beliefs. Like, it's an MCU film, not a lot, but all we get is like a random time is the true enemy nonsense, which is so stupid and incoherent and such a waste of Mads Mikkelsen.
Yeah, exactly. So you did have Green Goblin.
I did have Green Goblin.
Good shout. I mean, no complaints there. Well, of course, I would say that Spider-Man's a villain in that one because he literally fucks up the world. But
he does. It's true. he does.
Wakanda Forever. Completely forgettable film. Awful.
I don't think the film is forgettable. I like the film. I think the villain is forgettable. Didn't like the film.
No, it was too vignette-y.
Okay.
Badly edited, I think.
I see that complaint. I don't agree with you, but I see what you're saying.
I think we should caveat it with neither one of us has seen Guardians 3, and you've not seen the Marvels.
True.
The Marvels villain isn't bad by any means.
Just a sort of...
There's an episode there, I think, on fixing the stupid, because, fuck me, the ideas that villain has are just completely batshit insane.
Excellent. All right, I'll watch the Marvels then.
And Guardians, I actually still have no idea who even would be in the Guardians. Guardians 3. I've seen nothing about that film, really. I've also got no real urge to see it.
It's meant to be really good.
Yeah.
And, like, better than Guardians 2. Levels are really good, which wouldn't be difficult.
It's such a that is a forgettable film.
It is. It's just a confused film.
I think that covers virtually everybody.
TV shows. There will be an MCU film that we've missed with an absolutely standout, either good or bad villain.
The best villain in the whole series that we've just completely forgotten.
Howard the Duck from do get in touch with us if we've forgotten someone, obviously.
Indeed.
And also get in touch with us to let us know why we're wrong, and in fact the best villain in the MCU is actually whoever you think it is. Vision.
Come on, don't be silly now.
I mean, he can lift the hammer, he can't be a villain.
Exactly.
But unless you've got anything else.
Not at all.
I think all that remains is to say thanks for listening to this episode of Expertise is Overrated. No doubt, we've said some things that were either objectively wrong or downright offensive. As ever, feel free to let us know. Rate the podcast wherever you can. Check out our Patreon for bonus content and come chat to us on Discord.
If you're lucky, we might just argue with you in one of our upcoming episodes. And if you're really lucky, we might call you an idiot. Come back next time for some more absolute nonsense.